Good afternoon, 4:30 and 88 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
If Medicaid cuts of the magnitude proposed occur, the Cures funds will likely not be used to expand capacity and treatment.
Former Health and Human Services official Dr. Robert Frank says Kentucky's battle against opioid abuse will likely suffer if $800 billion is cut from the Medicaid program.
An Aberdeen official is indicted for theft in office.
And an Ashland woman says the city has too many deer and city commissioners should do something about it.
In sports, the Reds continue their West Coast trip with a stop in San Diego tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Isolated showers this evening, lows near 64 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear says there's not enough information to determine if the University of Louisville Foundation broke the law. The story from Haley Hansen.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says an audit found gross mismanagement at the foundation that handles the nonprofit investment arm of the university. However, Beshear says he needs more information to know if that mismanagement, quote, crossed the line into criminal activity. The audit, which was released last week, focused on the foundation's finances during the time James Ramsey was both the foundation and university's president. Beshear says if the rules were broken, his office would take over the investigation. I'm Haley Hansen.
The former Floyd County disability attorney who pled guilty to his role in a $550 million Social Security scheme, then disappeared from his Pike County home, has reportedly sent terms of his surrender to his lawyer and numerous media outlets. Eric C. Kahn has been wanted by the FBI since June 2nd when he removed his ankle monitoring device and fled his home. His attorney, Scott White, says he is confident emails he received last week are from Kahn. He spoke with WKYT.
And I believe if he came in now, the only thing we're technically dealing with is a bond violation, which, although serious, certainly does not carry with it any substantial sentencing consequence.
White says the writer of the email knew details about Kahn's monitoring device that only he would know. Kahn was scheduled to be sentenced on July 14th.
A former Aberdeen village official has been indicted on charges of theft in office. According to a press release from Ohio Auditor Dave Yost, the indictment was returned against one-time fiscal officer Nathan Peffer. He's also accused of tampering with evidence and records tampering. Information in the indictment claims Peffer stole more than $26,000 from the village's income tax and utility funds between October 2014 and August 2016.
A former majority whip in the Kentucky House of Representatives has been arrested on misdemeanor assault charges. Democrat Johnny Bell of Glasgow was taken into custody Sunday along with LaTanya Clayton. She's also charged with misdemeanor assault. Kentucky State Police say Bell told troopers the two had a fight after Clayton allegedly broke into his apartment. They say Clayton had injuries to her wrist and right eye, which she says she received when Bell removed her from a car and hit her. Police say Bell also had minor injuries. He served in the Kentucky legislature from 2007 to 2016. Bell did not seek re-election last year.
An Adams County, Ohio couple has been arrested on child endangerment charges after their toddler suffered an opiate overdose. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the one-year-old boy had to be revived with Narcan last Wednesday. Authorities responded to a 911 call from the child's parents, Michael Bowling and Angel Hessler. The baby was taken to the Adams County Regional Medical Center, then airlifted to the UC Children's Hospital for treatment. Bowling and Hessler are facing charges of endangering children.
An Ohio health official is pleading with the State General Assembly to approve more funding for residential treatment centers for opioid addiction. Sherry Walter testified before the Senate Finance Committee. She is the chief executive officer for the Ohio Association of Behavioral Health Authorities. Walter says the current scourge of fentanyl-laced heroin represents the worst drug crisis she's ever seen.
We've never seen an addiction like this, and I've been doing this for 35 years. This is a drug that will kill you the first time you use it. So we've got to get on top of this, and the problem is what we're seeing is people are rotating in and out of emergency rooms. They get Narcan, which is now a verb. They go into an emergency room. There's nowhere to get them into treatment. They go back in the community. They either get Narcan again or they die.
Walter says 9 more treatment centers would save lives and serve as many as 7,400 people a year.
An ex-federal health official says much of the money Congress appropriated for Kentucky last year to battle opioid abuse would be diverted for other needs if cuts President Trump is seeking in the Medicaid budget are approved. Dr. Richard Frank is a former Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation in the Department of Health and Human Services. He says $1 billion was granted nationwide to help states deal with drug addiction when Congress last December passed the so-called 21st Century Cures Act.
Kentucky is receiving a grant of about $10.5 million under Cures. That buys about 1,900 full-year treatments with medication-assisted treatment. Currently, Medicaid pays for 4,200 person-years of treatment in Kentucky, and three-quarters of that is for the expansion population.
Frank is referring to Kentuckians who've received drug treatment services under the expanded Medicaid program. If Medicaid funding is substantially reduced, he says, much of the Cures money that would have gone to treat opioid dependence will be used for other purposes.
The Pentagon says 3 U.S. soldiers killed in Afghanistan over the weekend were assigned to Fort Campbell. Here's Paul Miles.
The soldiers were killed Saturday in what an Afghan official calls an insider attack. A member of the Afghan army opened fire on the American troops during a joint military operation. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack. The soldiers killed are Sergeant Eric Houck of Baltimore, Sergeant William Bays of California, and Corporal Dylan Baldridge of North Carolina. They were all assigned to the 101st Airborne Division. I'm Paul Miles.
Congressman Hal Rogers is expressing concern about the elimination of funding for education programs offered by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration in its fiscal 2018 budget. The Somerset Republican says those programs have been highly effective in Kentucky.
2 of my universities have used those monies to small but remarkably successful aerospace programs. Your investments have promoted high retention of for Kentucky's STEM workforce. Just in April, you deployed 2 CubeSats developed by the University of Kentucky and Morehead State University as part of your ongoing educational launch of nanosatellites mission.
Rogers expressed his views directly to NASA officials at a hearing in Washington last week. They were presenting their next spending plan to the House Appropriations, Commerce, Justice, and Science Subcommittee.
The Kentucky Council for Post-Secondary Education will discuss a proposal to help the state's colleges and universities pay for capital improvements when it meets this week. Morehead State President Wayne Andrews says the CPE is considering asking the state legislature for permission to allow each school to charge its students an annual fee that would be used to pay for on-campus construction projects.
The General Assembly used to fund capital improvement. They're no longer doing that. We've got aging buildings that need attention. So that was the idea. Now, it's just an idea. It hadn't been formalized into a proposal. I'm not sure yet that it has universal support. I expressed some concerns about it.
Andrews says with the cost of tuition at Kentucky's institutions of higher learning continuing to rise, he's not sure that this is a good idea. He also believes since the state owns the buildings at its colleges and universities, it's responsible for paying for their capital improvements. The CPE's proposal suggests putting it into place as part of the Commonwealth's next biennial budget, which starts July 1st of next year.
Facing the possibility of spending millions to renovate an aging dormitory, Morehead State University has rehired the firm that drew up its 10-year campus residence hall master plan back in 2005. According to Beth Patrick, MSU's chief financial officer and vice president, Brailsford and Dunleavy will be paid $114,000 to review the final step in that process, the proposed renovation of Cartmel Hall. Patrick says the company will help the school determine if that's really the best strategy moving forward, or whether the 48-year-old building should be torn down and a more modern replacement constructed.
They do really in-depth interviews with current students, prospective students, and families. They talk with folks on campus. They do forecasting based on our enrollment trend and enrollment projections to help us understand what is the number of beds we need, what types of beds do students want, what is the price point, can we afford a renovation versus a construction. So they help us work through all of that.
Patrick estimates the cost of renovating Cartmel Hall at $20 million.
Utility rates will not be going up in the city of Ashland next year. Commissioner Marty Gute says he and his colleagues have decided to hold the line on fees and property taxes.
I'm happy to say that we found some of the money. We won't have to raise that. We won't have to raise property, and we won't have to raise water, sewage, and garbage. And that'll be a plus for our taxpayers. We were looking out for the taxpayers, for the people that struggle, and so hopefully we won't have to raise that.
City commissioners made that decision during a series of budget meetings last week.
A woman who runs a landscaping business in Ashland says the city has become horribly overpopulated with deer, and something needs to be done about it. Kim Jenkins told city commissioners last week she thinks they should authorize some hunting of the animals.
I do. I'm in favor of a controlled shoot, just like they have in other cities around the country. They use guns. They bring hunters in, and they tell everybody takes cover, shelters in place, and they get rid of some deer. There's not just a couple. You know, at any time I can look at my front door and see five or six. And I can't drive on my residential city street on a daily basis without being careful not to hit a deer. I'm not exaggerating.
Jenkins says too many deer pose a health hazard. She says insects known as deer ticks find a host on white-tailed deer, and one in four of those ticks carries Lyme disease. That's an illness often transmitted to humans when the insects bite. Lyme disease causes headaches, fever, and a skin rash. If untreated, it is sometimes fatal.
Ashland City Commissioner Amanda Clark says she doesn't expect the city's bus system to turn a profit, but it must operate more efficiently. Clark says the transit is finishing the current fiscal year $539,000 over budget, and that can't continue. She says routes need to be redesigned so the city is serving the people with the greatest need and getting them to vital services and places of employment.
That's where we need to be sending our buses, to where the people need them and taking them to where they need to go. And most of the time, that's to a job. And if those people are working, maybe the bus system costs us more, but we're getting so much more out of having a population that's gainfully employed.
Clark says commissioners last week decided to turn over operation of the bus system to the finance department, which will also draft a plan to keep the buses running, but at less expense.
Contractors from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will be spending the next several weeks in Elliott County. According to spokesman Alan Blair, they'll be blacktopping and patching several roads, including Kentucky 650, Kentucky 486, and Kentucky 706, along with state routes 649 and 7. Blair says the work is pretty normal stuff for KTC for this time of year.
It is. This is part of our routine summer schedule of paving operations and resurfacing of highways all across the state.
During the patching and repaving operations, motorists should be on the lookout for flaggers and for one-lane traffic in the work areas.
A fundraiser based on a popular TV show is coming soon to the area. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, members of the Buffalo Trace Children's Advocacy Center, the CASA, and the Women's Crisis Center have collaborated to put together a unique fundraising event. It's called the Amazing Maysville Race and will take place July 22nd. Similar to the popular TV show, the event will have two-person teams traveling across Maysville, completing several different challenges along the way. There will be a $400 first place prize, a $200 second place prize, and a $100 third place prize. Teams can also earn money by raising funds prior to the event. A $200 cash prize will go to the team that raises the most money. Each team must have a member that is at least 18 years of age and a licensed driver. The cost for team registration is $50. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mostly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of thunderstorms late in the night, lows around 69 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, highs around 87 degrees, and there's a 40% chance of scattered thunderstorms throughout the day tomorrow. Then Tuesday night, clouds persist through the night. The chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms remains at 40%, and lows will be around 68 degrees. Taking a look at area temperatures, it is currently 87 degrees in Ashland, 85 degrees in Flemingsburg, 88 degrees in Inez, 87 degrees in Winchester, it's 89 degrees in Lexington, and right here in Moorhead, it is currently 88 degrees.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, some conservative groups are among those speaking out against a bill in Congress that would impose federal medical malpractice reforms on the states. Mary Sherman reports.
Medical malpractice laws in Kentucky and other states would be nullified under a measure in Congress that could be voted on this week. House Resolution 1215, the Protecting Access to Care Act, would weaken accountability requirements for hospitals, doctors, nursing homes, and drug companies accused in a patient's injury or death. Conservative writer and public policy consultant Dean Clancy explains the measure would cancel out any state-level malpractice laws.
It even overrides state constitutional provisions that the people of the states have added to their constitutions in order to protect patients and people who are injured by medical negligence. And so there's a very high-handed, top-down, Washington-knows-best quality.
The bill would apply to a broad range of claims, including injuries caused by medical negligence, defective medical devices, dangerous pharmaceuticals, and nursing home neglect and abuse. The bill sets a federal cap on damages and statute of limitations for these cases. The measure would apply to people in federal health care programs, which opponents argue would disproportionately affect people with federal marketplace insurance plans, those covered by Medicare and Medicaid, as well as veterans and service members. Supporters of the bill say it would reduce frivolous medical lawsuits and excessive jury awards and help bring down provider costs. But Clancy contends it wouldn't have much impact.
Research suggests that the kinds of reforms they're pushing, like damage caps, don't really save a lot of money. Medical malpractice probably accounts for less than 2.5% of all health care costs. So there's actually not much money to be saved in this area.
According to Johns Hopkins University, preventable medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the U.S. behind heart disease and cancer. Opponents of H.R. 1215 include the Institute for Policy Innovation, the Taxpayer Protection Alliance, and the American Bar Association. This is Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After three weekend losses in Los Angeles, the Cincinnati Reds will hope for better things tonight at 10:10 as they start a series with the Padres in San Diego. The Reds will be coming back from a Sunday heartbreaker. Led by Corey Sager's grand slam, the Dodgers scored six times in the bottom of the eighth to beat Cincy 9-7. Manager Brian Price admits it is a tough loss to swallow.
It's a chance to have a feel-good drive down to San Diego and know that we played a good game here and beat L.A., which has been tough for us to do, and take that into the San Diego series. And so that's not a good thing, but we flipped the switch pretty well, you know, and turned a bad one off and started a good one the next day. So looking forward to San Diego.
3-4 Bronson Arroyo will take the ball for the Reds tonight. San Diego will pitch 24-year-old Luis Perdomo. He's winless in three decisions. Moorhead State coach Preston Spradlin isn't worried that the OVC's decision to move from 16 conference basketball games to 18 next season will hurt the league's RPI. The RPI is used to measure the overall strength of a conference and its teams. Having less conference games will mean that the OVC teams will spend more of next season beating up on each other. Spradlin, though, believes there are a lot of myths out there regarding the RPI and its impact.
I don't know the effects on the RPI, to be honest with you, but I like it for us. You know, sometimes it can be hard for teams in our league to get home games in the non-conference, so that kind of that helps out with that, and it gives you another opportunity to play in front of your fans, and again, gives you another comparable opponent that you don't have to go out and find.
With an expanded conference schedule, basketball in the OVC will start next season in late December. The staff for the Kentucky basketball team will be out and about this month evaluating potential prospects for the Wildcats. According to Assistant Joe Justice, he'll be looking for guys who seek UK as a destination point and a place where that will be a good fit for them.
That they see, you know, Coach Cal as someone that they want to trust with their development. They see our staff as someone that, as a group of people that, you know, they are going to trust to, you know, with their future. I think we need to identify that, and that's something that I think is probably at the top of my to-do list every day.
According to Kentucky.com, Justice will be in Argentina this week to review the abilities of the classes of 2019 and 2020 in the FIBA's Under-16 Championships. Head coach John Calipari spent time over the weekend in Colorado overseeing a training camp for the USA Basketball Under-19 squad, which he will coach this summer. Game 5 of the NBA Finals are tonight in Oakland as Golden State welcomes in the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland was able to force the Game 5 after getting a 137-116 win in Game 4. In a game that featured 7 technicals, Game 4 was very physical between the two teams, something Cavs head coach Tyronn Lue wants to see more of.
You know, I thought the first two games were being too nice. The first three games, helping guys up off the floor, smiling, talking to guys, and yeah, I didn't like that. So I'll take Game 4 over anything else. So, you know, talking trash, being physical, whatever you got to do to try to get that edge to win, you got to do it. Our mindset, you know, has to be, you know, winning games and, you know, not smiling back and forth or, you know, talking and playing. I mean, they're coming after us, so we got to go after them.
Tonight's game tips off at 9 p.m. A win for the Warriors would give them their second championship in 3 seasons. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenyer is looking forward to having 60 to 70 of his players spending some time on campus this summer. Many of them will be part of the Eagles' 2017 freshman class, which will participate in the program's Summer Success Program.
I think it's really made a difference for our student-athletes academically, you know, starting class during the summer and kind of settling in, understanding, being familiar with kind of the lay of the land and campus, and then also developing relationships and camaraderie with their teammates, and then obviously working with the veteran players as well. But the thing that stands out to me is just the individual time that we have with them.
The MSU football team begins its preseason training camp in early August. Some notes from the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens have signed wide receiver Jeremy Maclin to a 2-year contract, according to ESPN. The 29-year-old Maclin was surprisingly cut by the Kansas City Chiefs earlier this month. And Seattle Seahawks running back Eddie Lacy earned a $55,000 bonus today tied to his weight. Lacy was required to weigh less than 250 pounds today, which he did. His contract with the Seahawks includes a clause that could help him earn up to $385,000 in bonuses based on the results of 7 different weigh-ins during the season. And finally in sports, the Northeast Kentucky East-West Senior Bowl All-Star football game was held over the weekend here in Moorhead. MSPR's Chuck Moraz has the recap.
With the help of a late rally, the East All-Stars Friday night came away with a 20-14 win over the West at Jane Stadium. A 46-yard touchdown run by Russell's Nick Conley and a 5-yard scoring scamper by Johnson Central's Gunnar Sloan in the fourth quarter were the difference for the East. Conley also starred on defense for his team, recovering both a fumble and a blocked punt. The West scores came via 2 touchdown passes by Bracken County's Tristan Bishop, a 72-yarder to Mason County's Ty Fox, and a 10-yard toss to Bath County's Ty Rogers. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Moraz.
And that's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
For MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Morehead State Soccer will host a high school team camp July 10th through 13th at an elite college ID camp on Sunday, July 16th. Camps are designed to help develop soccer players in all aspects of the game. More information at 783-2589 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower amid renewed pressure on technology stocks, with the Dow dropping 36.3 to finish at 21,235.67. The S&P 500 was down 2.38 at 2429.39. And the NASDAQ Composite made the greatest drop in terms of a percentage drop, down 32.45 at 6175.46. Big tech stocks today were down as they were this last Friday. Shares of Apple fell after Mizuho Securities downgraded the stock to neutral from buy. And Apple was particularly hard hit, as it was also on Friday, with the stock down today about 2.5%. Other big tech stocks followed Apple lower, including Amazon, Alphabet, Netflix, and Facebook. Also, the technology select sector SPDR ETF broke below its 50-day moving average for the first time since April 18th. Investors are looking ahead to a key Federal Reserve meeting this week, where the U.S. Central Bank is widely expected to raise interest rates. Market expectations for a rate hike were at 95.8% today, according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool. Treasury bond prices were mixed, with a benchmark 10-year note yield trading near 2.21%, which was largely unchanged, and the 2-year yield actually hit a one-month high of 1.35%. In overseas markets, European markets were weak today, with the Stock 600 index down almost 1%. In Asia, markets were also down, with the Nikkei down 0.5%, and Shanghai was down over 0.5%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% at $46.05 a barrel, while gold was down 0.3% at $1,267.50 an ounce. Among Dow stocks, your best performers were GE and Chevron. The worst performers were Apple and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Under Armour and Kimco, and the worst performers were Netflix and IDEX Laboratories. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 98 cents at $66.23, CSX down 47 cents at $53.52, AEP down 43 cents at $71.43, Marathon Petroleum down 27 cents at $54.44, AK Steel up 28 cents at $6.52, and Kroger was down 75 cents to finish at $30.03. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mostly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of thunderstorms late in the night, lows around 69 degrees. Tomorrow partly cloudy skies, highs of 87 degrees, and there's a 40% chance of scattered thunderstorms throughout the day tomorrow as well. For Tuesday night, clouds persist through the evening, then the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms stays at 40%, lows around 68 degrees. Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies and an 80% chance of thunderstorms, highs around 88 degrees. Wednesday night, we'll see an 80% chance of thunderstorms and lows around 69 degrees. For Thursday, that is, thunderstorms throughout the day, highs near 88 degrees, and the chance of rain is at 80%. It is currently 87 degrees in Ashland, 85 degrees in Flemingsburg, 88 degrees in Inez, 87 degrees in Winchester, 89 degrees in Lexington, and right here on the campus of Moorhead State University, it is currently 88 degrees.
And that'll bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles and Haley Hansen. And from the Kentucky News Connection, Mary Sherman did our feature. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.